Welcome, everyone, to the Blessings of Christ. On this 25th day of July, we are midsummer. And I think there was a Shakespeare play, wasn't it? Midsummer's Dream or something like that. Anyway, it's a special season where we get to play, enjoy warm weather. Or if you're in the South Hemisphere, maybe you're getting to enjoy a little bit of beautiful fireplaces and a little bit of snow. Who knows? I don't know where you might be, but I know that your season will be just as lovely as ours in a different way. Sometimes on the hot days here, we long for the winter. It can be very, very humid where I live. And I walked into my closet a couple of days ago, and all of my shoes were mildewed. So that gives you some really tangible idea of what it's like. I once when I was in art history, one of my common prayers was I wanted to go and live like Gauguin in Polynesia for a while. I think I got the answer to the prayer. It just wasn't as far south or on a beautiful tropical ocean. But we do have palm trees here, and it is tropical. So I got the prayer answered in a different way. But now, aside from, I was just using a little chit-chat to give everybody a chance to show up. Seems like we've got a lot of late arrivers here today. But Elizabeth is here, and we want to hear from you, Elizabeth. Hello. You're on.
Oh, hello, Glenda. I just have a couple of requests for prayers for people. A friend's young grandson, who's only 9 months old, has a tumor and is undergoing chemotherapy, and I just asked for a prayer for him to just sail through all of this. His name is Mateo. And another friend of mine is back in the hospital, Ernest in Tennessee. He used to play the keyboards for B.B. King, and he is not doing so well. And the last one is just for myself, as I'm not doing so well, and I just need Yeshua's strength to be with me if I could ask for that.
Of course you can.
Thank you so much,
Glenda. For you.
Thank you.
We want you to be at your best and enjoy life to the fullest. You know, we have life forever, but not forever in this world. So we want to enjoy it as much as we can while we're here and do as much good as we can for one another. And
exactly.
That's why we join on Sundays. So thank you, Elizabeth. We always appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you, Glenda, so much.
Christopher, you are on.
Oh, greetings, everyone. Well, mostly I want to just express gratitude. I just feel so grateful to Yeshua. I mean, like, over the top. So that's my main request for a blessing, is to send out celebrations and gratitude for all the blessings. And thank you, Glenda, for all your love and assistance on this path. And also, I want to say a special prayer. It's a very, very kind of private thing. I have a mentor, an elder of mine, who's going to be relocating after living in the same place for 20 years and doing amazing work with us as a community, offering so many prayers and so much love to all of us. And I just want to send out a prayer that this transition is easeful and graceful and beautiful for her and her kitty and for our community as she moves, relocates, and kind of redesigns the framework of our study. And it occurs to me that, Glenda, I think you mentioned that you would be moving at some point, too. So I'd like to put a prayer out for your transition as well.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. That is actually my next big mountain to climb. I thought I was going to have one in front of that, but I was very, very blessed to, well, it was dental. I thought I was, I have not been to see a dentist in about, well, 4 years now, because since the since Harvey came to town in 2017, I had neither the resources nor the time to engage in dental maintenance. And nothing was hurting at the time, so I just took the best care I could of myself. But through the years, I think everyone in this community knows how our situation declined under the weight of problems that just came to pass and built one on top of the other. And so part of those problems were I began to notice I was having some serious situations in my mouth, and I thought, oh, I've got to put this off a little longer because I won't be able to handle it. There's no way I can take care of that. That's expensive stuff. And I thought I was going to have to go to out of the country to some very, very inexpensive place to get myself taken care of. But finally, I just decided to take charge with the help of God and the guidance of God and the guidance of Yeshua and Holy Spirit. And so I just really contemplated all the dentists in this region and threw a dart on the board, but not really, because I was following the guidance of Spirit, and I pulled one out that was brand new. He'd just come to town, went to see him. He was terrific. His clinic was terrific. And he said, Glenda, I told him I came in scared. I said, I've been scared to come to see you because I don't know if I'm up to handling this. He did everything, took all the tests. And he said, Glenda, you don't have a cavity in your mouth. We just need to take care of your gums. And you've got a crack in two of your crowns, so we're going to have to replace those. But there's no cavities underneath them. You're actually amazingly healthy in your mouth. And I went, oh, thank you, God. You know, that's, but it's also a very good example of how we can worry about things because we don't have the ability to fix them. And this happens when our friends become ill or challenged with, whatever. It could be a material problem, it could be a health problem, it could be a relationship problem. And we don't have the ability to help them. And we just go, oh, I'm so sorry. And we think it's huge. But nothing is huge for God. That's what we have to remember. Mm-hmm. It's hard mm-hmm. to have that kind of faith when we're hurting or we're worried about someone else. But really, nothing is huge for God. He created the whole of existence. And so I came away really, I mean, it's just going to cost me a fraction of what I thought it would be, a fraction. And my insurance will take care of most of that. And so I'm just flying like a little angel coming home. And thanking Yeshua the whole way. So, you know, that's my personal acknowledgement. And it's not just because I'm close to Yeshua. I'm sure that's a part of it, a big part of it. But it's also just something I wanted you to understand, that no matter how close we are to God, no matter how strong our faith is, we're still human. We're still human, and we're going to have these worries. Because that's part of what being human is all about. And so if we just recenter in the love that we are, take the plunge, go for our best option, and say, God, please hold my hand as I walk through this. It kind of reminds me of the 23rd Psalm, you know? Hold my hand as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil. I kind of paraphrased on that one, but I wanted to say it a little differently. We've said it so much, sometimes we take things for granted when we've said them 10,000 times. But, Christopher, you're in the hands of God, and so are your friends.
Thank you so much, Glenda. It's amazing that you brought up the thing about dental, because she was expressing to me that that was her other mountain, and wondering, like, should she get it done before she makes this transition? It's they're kind of like woven together, as it sounds like they were with you. And
they
so I think that's really amazing that you just brought that up. Yeah, so I'll also thank you for putting that prayer out there, and I'll also reassure her. What were you going to say?
I was going to say we're all mind readers. We just don't know it.
Okay. Well, blessings
well,
to
give
you,
my
Glenda.
Blessings
will you please
to
put
friend.
Yourself on the list and for that? I will.
I will. I will. I'm on the list all the time. I have my morning and evening prayers. Thank you, Christopher. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. And I'm going to move on down the line, okay, so we can get
Thanks,
everybody
Glenda.
On. Jerome, your line is open.
Oh, blessings. Thank you, Glenda. Blessings for my family, everybody in my family range. But love and light and peace and joy from Yeshua for you, too. And thank you for being such a great spirit, and continue on with your good work.
I certainly will do that. At least I'll do the best I can.
You are always doing it. So thank you, and I love you. Thank you. Okay.
You know, I wanted to build on that statement that just came out of the blue. I'm doing the best I can.
Yes.
You know, God knows we're human. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. If we do the best we can, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. You'll pick up the rest. Don't worry that you can't fix everything. Don't worry that you don't have all the answers. You're here to do, you know what it takes is when you do the best you can, you activate that seed of God within you, and then you become united with the one who does know how to do it better. So just do the best you can. That's all. That's all you can do. Actually, Yeshua sent the apostles out to the world pretty much with the same admonition. He just said, don't worry about what you'll encounter. Don't worry about how you'll live. Don't worry about how you'll take care of yourself. Take a knapsack, wear your sandals, and let yourself be fed along the way. He was just telling them, do the best you can, you know, to shorten it into my words. But that's it. And that's the clue. And every day you will get stronger. Every day you will learn. Every day you will build more wisdom. Every day you will build more faith if you just do the best you can. And that's it. No one's going to expect more of you than that. And they will see the effort you made to the point of pushing yourself further than you knew you could. And somebody will step in and pick up the cross for you. It will happen. And just know that. Take that as a lesson I've learned through life. Do you think for a minute when I walked into my studio that first day to start painting Yeshua's portrait, trembling in my shoes, afraid from head to toe, do you think I could ever, ever have imagined I would be doing all the things I've done? No way. Under the sun, moon, and stars. But I am. Because every day, I did the best I could. I didn't know that I could paint him. the Lord of life that walked on earth, and I thank him? No way. But you know what? It was a combination of humility and conviction that made it possible. I think it's really important to learn the power of humility. It's all right to say, I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to do the best I can. You know, that's what made the great transformation in Job. As long as he thought he could solve the problem with forgiveness and sacrifice and creating alms for the poor and reconciling his family and giving everything to God, he thought he could fix the problem. And he realized he couldn't fix the problem, but he would do the best he could. He just looked up to heaven and he said, oh Lord, you're all I need. I did it. So there's a great miracle that happens when you combine humility and conviction. A great miracle in that combination. Just take it from one who's been through the hall of mirrors and the gauntlets. Okay. We're going to open the line to someone else. Muriel, I see you're on. Oh, Mariel.
Mariel, yes. Hi, Glenda. This is Mariel. I'm calling from Vermont. I've never called in before, but I've been on listening to many calls, and I came across you 20 years ago, and they've just been a big blessing in my life, I have to tell you.
Well, welcome. I'm glad to hear your voice.
My question is, it's not asking for a blessing. I'm very concerned about what's happening in the world today. And I have wondered many, many, many times, I thought, just ask. For God's sake, just ask. I'm wondering if as our situation is becoming more abusive, I would say, if you have addressed the control system being implemented in the world by these digital passports. And I'm wondering if you can tell us what Joshua said about accepting the mark of the beast.
Well, we never spoke about that, first of all. I have to tell you that because I was really naive. And I was into being a personal person. Just completely awed with the opportunity to talk to this amazing, holy being. And so sometimes it was more than I could muster to even open my mouth. And when I did, it would be about things that were easier for me to confront. But in my prayers since that time, many times I have asked him about this. Many times I have asked him for guidance about what's going on in the world. And he has steered me away from all collective agendas because he's let me know that my connection to God is personal. It's not about belonging to one or another church. It's not about creating some kind of fortress in the forest wherein we hide with other people. It's not about anything we're going to do collectively. We were created as individuals to be children of God, and we're going to be asked to stand up for ourselves against the winds of fate and fortune that are beginning to blow pretty strong upon this earth. And through the years, I have contemplated about the mark of the beast, and I'm not exactly sure what the mark would be, but I have contemplated deeply about the number, the threefold of sixes, And I made a comment about that in our last class of the Star of Love, which is a higher evolution to the Star of David, which also had the 6 points of the six-pointed star. It was a star that God gave to David for his shield against Goliath, and saying that it would defend him against all evil and call forth all good. So it became the emblem of Israel. And building upon that star, we see that a star was mentioned throughout the prophecies of the Messiah, that he would be born under a star. And that's what the wise men followed to find the baby Yeshua when he was born. So the star has been a sacred emblem that's been used throughout the history of Judeo-Christian thinking, but not only that, in other religions as well. But what's unique about this star is it has the 6 points on it. So it has the 6 points of, and it reflects upon the 6 points of creation, creating the material world. But in the book of Genesis, the seventh day was the most sacred day. And it was the day where God re-entered the void. Remember, he began in the void, and then he re-entered the void. So when we look at the Star of David, we see that void in the center. And that star represents the 6 points of creation with God at the center. With God at the center. Now, when we look at the 6 points of creation without a center, what we're looking at are the 6 levels of material existence without God at the center. And that would be atheism. It would be materialism. It would be scientific explanations of existence. And ultimately, then artificial intelligence, all performing on the 6 points of creation, but without God at the center. The replacement of God with artificial intelligence or digital control, as is the parlance of today. And we see that now gradually unfolding in the levels of material control.
Yes.
I don't have the answers to give you, Mariel. I don't, because it's a really big subject that is the business of God. He gave us this to look at, to warn us to stay away from it. And the way you stay away from it is to be yourself. Remember, you were created as love. There's a seed of God within you. And you follow your inner guidance. Pray, have faith, and have the courage to believe in yourself. And not only in yourself, in other people as individuals. You know, when I was trying to choose a dentist, I thought about calling the Dental Association for a reference. I decided, nope, not going to do that. I'm going to look within, and then I'm going to look at the dentist, and then I'm going to look at personal reviews, individual reviews about them. In other words, I consulted other persons. And I would say the root through the fire is we love one another and we love God. Loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, praying frequently, and consulting individuals, not groups, not forces within the world. You have to be very, very careful of groups building up. I accidentally fell into, I'm not very familiar with one of the social media called TikTok. I fell into it because I follow the story of a precious little beaver, that's just called Beave, and his story is one of the great animal stories of all time, really. It is. And I was looking for Beave, and it took me to TikTok. But I accidentally landed on a few other pages that got me intrigued, and I went to a few other pages, and they were all about people fighting each other with political agendas and theories about what's going on, theories of what to do and what not to do and run for your life. And I thought, wow, I can't believe people are living like this. This is all about duality and arming yourself up with other people who are believing in these agendas. And I mean, every thread of truth in my being said, get away from here. Run to God. Run to God.
Can I ask something here? I'm, you know, it's concerning because it's being forced. This digital passport is being forced on people, and you're being forced to, we're being forced to take this jab that is very dangerous from everything I have seen. And it is a tracking system. It's an antenna inside your body. It's a DNA database being put inside your body. That's the mark of the beast. And I'm concerned because it's not so easy to just say no. They're really going to, they're pushing this. They're going to push this until they want 100% compliance.
Of course they do. Well, first of all, don't listen to the negative agenda either. Don't listen to either side. Okay? Because the real secrets, they're not going to tell you. Most of what is being bantered around on social media is just as much opinion as anyone else. I would say pull away from that. Avoid it as long as you can. Hope that there will be interventions before it's forced upon you. If it's forced upon you, then accept it with a surrendering spirit that you get through it and it has no effect upon you. Because you're bigger than it is. Let me tell you that right now. But only you as an individual are bigger than it is. If you start grouping up with other people that are going to face it with their political agendas, then you're not bigger than it is. Okay? You've got to be yourself. Only yourself and God can overwhelm it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
And I'm talking to everybody when I say this because I know everybody's got this concern. Be yourself. Under any and every circumstance, be yourself. The early Christians were put into an arena with lions released upon them, and they sang as the lions devoured them because they knew they were going to heaven. And so I can say, well, so what? If I'm with God, if I'm the love that I am, I'm bigger than this.
Right. I get that. I get that part. I'm just I'm concerned about this.
The political part we can't figure out right now.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this to all of you. We really can't figure it out right now because most of what we call deep six, a deep state, it actually is superficial compared to what really is deep state. We don't know. Okay? And the more time you spend trying to figure it out, the more you inhale negativity that causes you to become afraid. So instead of singing as the lions come, you'll be crying as the lions come. And then they will devour you. So,
well, I'm not so much afraid. It's not that I'm afraid. I'm a truth seeker. I just want to know what's true or not. You know what I mean? The truth, because the truth is, the truth, my truth seeking in terms of spiritual things brought me to this book, your books 20 years ago. And it has been the biggest blessing in my life. Absolutely, just absolutely incredible. I can't even tell you what a blessing it's been and how I've shared it with everyone I know.
I'm so
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid, but I see other people being afraid. I see people being afraid, and that's why they're taking this, accepting this mark that is, I think it's the beginning of a very dangerous, you know, mindset in humanity.
Well,
but global.
It is. And it's been prophesied for the ages. And my friends, we're there. We are there. So the prophecies, but let's look at this way. If we can see this side of the prophecy being with us, then let's have faith in the other side of the prophecy coming as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the other side of the prophecy? The golden world.
Right, right.
So, it's here. It's here, and as best you can, give your friends courage, and even if they take it, and you know they're going to take it, tell them, hey, at least do it with courage. Do it with integrity. Do it because you just want to get on with your life and not be dreading it all the time. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you find out anything. If you feel sure, what's your know?
Well, what else is there to find out? I mean, really, there isn't any more to find out. I mean, I don't know that we're going to be told. The apostles asked Yeshua, and he wouldn't tell them. He said, only God knows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to tell you. So, if I promise you one thing, what I do know, I will tell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Is that an agreement?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, and bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for it all, really.
You're welcome. And I know it's hard. It's hard on me, too. But I've learned to take it on with a golden spirit that, if the downside of the problem is happening, then surely the upside will happen as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. But he says don't take it. So that's why I'm trying to avoid taking it, because he said don't take
I would avoid it. I think it's good to avoid. If you don't, let's put it this way. If you don't need to take it, don't take it.
Yeah, we don't. We have a 99% survival rate. There's no reason to take it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. If you're not in the diplomatic service, if you're not in healthcare service, if you're not into some kind of service that requires it, don't take it. Don't take it.
Yeah.
Now you know people who work in a hospital, they have to. And they're martyrs. I mean, really, but they're gracious, loving martyrs who take it because they're at the service of others. And my opinion is being at the service of others is a love and grace greater than anything that jab can put in their body. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the power of love. That's my belief.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that those who are here to serve, and because they're serving, they have to take it. Their love is going to be great enough and powerful enough. They'll just be above it. And it's simple as that. I don't think that the dark forces can conquer love. They never have. They've never been able to. And they never will.
Mm-hmm. Well, if the dark forces, let me just say this, and I know you have other people wanting to talk, but if the goal of evil is the destruction of God's creation, then this jab, injecting a DNA-changing cocktail into your body is that it is changing the human DNA. To me, this is like...
I would say we don't know yet, and they don't either. Nobody knows. They're just hoping for a little control.
No, if you look, if you do research, yeah, there's a lot of information. There's a lot there. You have to seek it out because they're not going to tell
you. Mariel, I'm talking about generationally. We don't know. We don't know generationally. We really don't. And sometimes you have to say, we don't know. But we do know generationally, love will carry us through.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. No.
All right. Okay, let's end this subject right now. All right?
I'm good.
God bless you. And I know you'll do the right thing for yourself, and that will help other people do the right thing also. Okay, we're going to take other callers. Stephen, you're on.
Hello, Glenda. Thank you for everything. I just really appreciate what you just said. I just wanted to add something along those lines. And I'm about as anti-vaxxer as they come, quite frankly, as you probably already imagine. And, you know, actually it was probably the spark that for me started a 5-year tumultuous marriage counseling ordeal that ended up in a 2-year custody battle over my daughter. And, the sore point of vaccinations was the spark that led to that uncovering of all the incompatibilities there. And so I've been through the rigmarole when it comes to vaccines. And I really do believe that love is in command. Like Yeshua said, love is the engineer of DNA. The DNA molecule is designed to conduct the function of love. And you can play around with it all you want. You know, you can tweak it and put chemicals on it and do all kinds of viral stuff on it. But ultimately, I truly believe that love is in command of the DNA molecule, and that through the power of faith and love and God, you have command over your own DNA. I really believe that with all my heart, and just the power of epigenetics. I was fortunate enough to just spend the last 2 weeks straight living on the Yuba River up in Northern California. And, I was pretty much fasting most of the time and just literally sleeping under the stars, no tent or anything, just feet from the river. And just Mother Nature alone has the power to switch so many epigenetic codes in your DNA. It's unbelievable. I mean, I just look at myself compared to the stress I was under the last 6 months to a year. And just 2 weeks completely immersed in Mother Nature has just transformed me just on all levels. And it's the power of the love of Mother Nature, the love of God. And not only that, during that time, I forgot that there was even a virus. I forgot that the world was going on and having incredible dramas and all kinds of stuff. I mean, I completely forgot about it all. And, you know, as I came back into the Matrix and turned on the radio, I honestly was chuckling at the drama and the stories and the agendas and the worries. And, you know, the rabbit hole is as deep as you want to take it. The mind hates mystery, you know. And
absolutely.
So the mind will just go and go and try and figure it out and figure it out and figure it out. And it's an endless chess game. As soon as you make one move, then the other mind makes another move. And it's just an ongoing, and even played perfectly, it's just stalemate. So what do you get? A stalemate chess game. Love supersedes all that. And I just want to add, that is the real power, that, you know, evil, there's no source evil in the universe. You know, evil is a choice. Evil is just a free will denial of love. And so I just want to add that, you know, regardless of the vaccine, I mean, look, I personally felt deathly ill when I was in the second grade just by getting a tetanus booster shot. I was in bed for 3 weeks. I couldn't go to school. So yeah, I have firsthand experience that these things they're risky. You know, it's a little bit of a crapshoot. You know, there's pros, there's cons. You know, and ultimately, I think each person has to just choose in their sacred heart what's best for them in the moment. And, you know, I saw on social media recently, I follow this philosopher who, you know, I love it. And he basically, you know, puts out all these little questions from great philosophers throughout, and they were talking about inalienable rights. And I don't know if I mentioned this on a previous call, but they were talking about the right to, you know, pursue freedom and happiness and, you know, basically what's in the Declaration of Independence. And one was health. And what I realized about health is there's no template for health. Each person has to choose in the moment what's best for his or her own health. You know, I personally believe we're hybrid creatures. I think we're a cross between like an ET and some primate or Sasquatch, Bigfoot. I don't know. I've got lots of reasons for this belief. But that being the case in my world, it has to be an individual choice. It has to be like what feels in your heart right for you in the moment. And you can't go about, you know, imposing it. And the moment that somebody actually knocks on my door with handcuffs and says, you know, pins me down and injects me with some sort of vaccine or whatever, that's the moment I'll physically fight and run out the door. But until then, I am not worried at all. At all. If I'm that scared, then I can take evasive action. I could move to another country. I could move to another country. I could move into the mountains. I could live next to nature. Nobody's going to run me down to stick a needle in my arm if I want to avoid it bad enough. So I just want to say my piece around this because this is just the ongoing fear that's so deep in everybody's mind and heart, and ultimately, and it's history repeating it. This has happened before. It happened in the 70s with some swine flu. It happened back in the Spanish flu. This is going to continue to happen with HIV. There's always these viruses come along and come and they come and go, and there's different approaches and whatever. So I just want to say that, like, you know, coming from a strong natural health background, me personally, I've had since the beginning zero fear around this, and I still have zero fear around it as of right now. I have zero fear about my personal health, and I have zero fear about the government or somebody, you know, forcing me to do something against my own personal choice of what's healthy for me. And I hope I can, you know, transfer some of this faith and belief into our community to realize that don't waste your energy. Don't waste your time. Like Glenda said, just focus on the love. Focus on God. Focus on faith.
That's it. I have no fear either. I really don't. I have no fear at all, Stephen. And I think that when we are afraid of anything or in a state of consciousness that's fear-oriented, we don't think well, we don't think straight, and we don't think rightly. And getting back to what an admonition I gave before we got into this discussion is all God expects for us is to do our best. Do your best. But you can only do your best if you think straight, if you feel straight, if you check in with your sacred heart, if you pray regularly, if you follow promptings of the Spirit, if you love one another, and if you love God. It's the only way you're going to think straight, the only way you're going to do your best. But doing your best is all you can do. That's it. And you know, be glad that you're here able to do your best. That's a gift. That's a gift. Okay. Stephen, that was a great message, and we so appreciate you, and thank you for your sweet courage that isn't even courage because it's what you would do anyway. And we're in the same boat on that one. All right. But we've got other callers, so I need to open the line to some of our other friends. Nancy and Gary, you're on. Hello.
Hi there. Oh, gosh. There's so much in my heart that I want to say, but I won't because there's probably another time to do that. But I do want to say thank you, Muriel, and thank you, Stephen, just for having the conversation because it's an important one, and we have to be aware of the media and fear and all the things that people are peddling. But for me, it's really about being present and remembering who I am so that I can, you know, trust my internal faculties of intuition and understanding and knowing that, this fear thing that's going on is, it can't win. And so for me, there must be a lot of light being poured on the planet to expose because I think a lot of this has been going on for a really long time. And so maybe what's going on now is it's just a really pregnant time for us to wake up and, you know, activate within us our true knowing of who we are, which is our God self. And I don't know, I can resonate with everything that was said, and I know exactly what you're talking about because I see it and I hear it and I live around it, and I see the fear that really, and there's, Gary calls it fear porn. We just have to turn the TV off and the radio off and, you know, and know that we got to change the story and the narrative that just says, we're going to reclaim our freedoms and our rights and our bodies and our health. But anyway, I just love everything that y'all have said and Glenn, everything you share always. And so my blessing and my request for this blessing today is for all of us to some sort of peace that just can kind of permeate through our being so that we can, none of this stuff can stick so that we can, you know, when we walk through the day-to-day stuff, we make that difference with that look and that kind, you know, smile, which may be small, but I will say fighting and being divisive with the ones that we know are intentional about this deception is not the answer either. So it's really reclaiming who we are. And I'm just grateful that we're all together and we're able to have these conversations because in some places you really can't even talk about it. And so,
isn't that true? That is so true.
So thank you. And let's have a blessing where we're all sort of cleared from any of the fear and the stuff that mucks us up and to really feel it right down deep into our cellular structure, like he was talking about the DNA and the love. And what you said, what did you say? It was in the first part of the class about, you know, our confidence in God and what's real has got to override our fear and structure and the story and the illusions. But the problem, Glenda, and I hear what Muriel's saying is that there's a lot of people that, you know, are so trusting and they don't check in about those things and they're so sort of easily being fooled, in other words. And so, how do you help people get back to their set, to themselves and their own knowing? And that's just by being it yourself. I mean,
that's all you can do in any situation. All you can do is what you were given to do by God. And you do your best. But your best comes from the inside out. It doesn't start by going to a group meeting, and then in a group meeting you decide what you think you believe. What you believe and who you are starts from the inside out.
Yeah, and that's being the authentic self. That's you.
Exactly.
You just said it. That's you.
That's right. That's you. And you have to act from the authentic self, and then you will do those things you were given to do by virtue of your placement in life, your talents, your connections in life, the knowledge and the certainty you have in God, and it will come from within you. And it has to come from within you. And I think that if we look at a lot of the martyrs through the age, one that comes to mind immediately right now is Martin Luther King. He did what he did because he knew inside of himself what was right. But that didn't mean that he was not immune to assassination. You see,
right.
The goodness did not come from the group. The goodness came from inside him.
Yeah.
And he lives on. But the forces that killed him have died and gone away. He lives on. Not mm-hmm. only in the spirit of his message, but as a soul. He lives on. And we see that in so many, many martyrs through the age who stuck to their truth. And they may have paid the price of life, but they didn't pay the price of eternal life. They lived on.
Well, I'm hoping we don't have to all be martyrs, but I'm hoping that we have the freedom
to
show
in our country. No, I didn't mean to bring that. I didn't mean to.
I know exactly what you meant. I'm just saying I hope in this time and age that we can stand up to our truth and not be, you know, coerced into something that goes against our own true knowing, that is enough, that you can say, no, that doesn't work for me.
I think that's actually going to be the joke of the ages. That the bad guys think they're going to scare the tar out of us, okay, and we will fall victim to something that's not really even that powerful. It may be dangerous mm-hmm. in the short run, but it's not really that powerful. And they think they've got it all mapped out, and nothing's going to work, and we're all going to stand up and laugh.
Amen. I'm laughing. I love it. That's great.
Yep.
So let's all, a blessing for laughter within us, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, we got to move on, guys, because this has been a great conversation, but we need to have a blessing, okay? So
yes.
I'm going to open the line really quickly to Tara Kim. You're on.
Hi, many, many thanks for the conversation today. Much appreciated. I did want to just request a blessing for my husband who's having surgery on Thursday.
Oh, good. Well, God be with him, and I'll make sure he's on my list. Okay.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Eva, you're on.
Hi. Yeah, this is Eva who just came home from rehab. And with the pins in my femur and wanting a blessing for continued healing here. And I don't do so well with pain, and that brings me to fear. And I know fear is not good. And other kinds of fears I can handle better, like the kinds of things that were being talked about, because I know that the higher consciousness always wins. Because Jesus told us that, Yeshua is the one who said even that his life changed the world that he was in when it could have been destroyed. And when we rise to that higher power, we have that ability too. And that's what encourages me so much.
Amen.
But when it comes to my own body, sometimes I get discouraged. So I need not to be in a fear place when it comes to this kind of healing as well, but I know that all will be well in the end when we stay in the love place. So thank you so much. I appreciate the conversation.
Keep accepting the love that everyone is giving you, your community, your family, God, the Holy Spirit, Yeshua, your medical helpers. Everyone's giving you love and cheering you on, so just take it and go with it.
Thank you.
Because after Larry passed and I fell and almost broke my hip, I was on crutches for six weeks at least. And what I was at night when I would just be alone and in the bed, I was thinking, oh, Lord, is this just the beginning of the end for me? Am I just, does this mean I'm just going downhill from here on out and it's going to be a sad story of one sort or another until I go and rejoin Larry? And I know how the mind can get, the mind can just climb down a hole, as Stephen was saying. When the mind starts working on the negative possibilities, it just climbs down the rabbit hole, and it just keeps going and going. And finally, I
then what happened was I was in the same rehab that my husband was in 20 years ago when he had initially. And I chose that rehab because I was familiar with it, and my daughter also was familiar with people that live there. It's basically somewhat of a Quaker facility, and she's Quaker. And so I realized at one point that I really believe I'm feeling some of the things that were going on here for me when that initial shock came on and had to do with him. So now it's like I never thought I was going to be like this, and it's almost like my transferring his problems onto me. So yeah. I need to let go of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as all of you can see, I'm not in that place anymore, and you won't be either.
Right, right.
Just let go of it.
I just said, I'm in admiration of all you've done through your problems, and I hope I can do, you know, at least somewhat that well.
You will. You will.
Thank you.
There's a lot of life left in you, and those who love you will help you live it.
So thank you so much. I appreciate that, and I appreciate all the blessings that are being given.
You're welcome. Tony, you are on, and we've been waiting for you. I hope you're doing better and receiving the rewards of blessing.
Yes, absolutely. That's the first thing I just have to say, is that the family has been needing a lot of support, love, prayers, and miracles, and boy, they have been coming. So I just want to say thank you so much. And for this entire call, everything that seems so important and so valuable for all of us right now, it's also resonating so deeply. I think that's what's coming through in this call, which is beautiful. It's an opportunity for us to be together, to recognize these connections in such meaningful and helpful ways. So thank you, everybody, for your contributions. And what we started out with today was one of the first things. Nothing is too big for God. So
that's right.
I just want to echo that and say yes. And every word uttered on this call today has been like a song of kindness and love directly to my inner being. So thank you all. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for being part of us and all the service you've given to our community through the years. So we just pray and know that you are in the hands of God, and you're going to be strong and kicking up dust pretty soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's
and
right.
Amen. For that place in all of us, for that place in all of us that is growing and receiving and loving and seeing the connections between heaven and earth and God's immediate presence with us and the reality of God's strength and love and light. Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome. God bless you. Okay, everybody. We are going to go into our blessing now. And everybody, for those of you who are new, if there are newcomers, and usually there are, there's nothing for you to do other than receive. But we want you to receive in a very relaxed way, in your chair, in your bed. This is I pray and dance a lot, but this is not a time to be dancing. This is a time to be so relaxed that you're a piece of slightly overcooked spaghetti, not al dente, but you're one that could be put in the gravy. So you're going to be just totally relaxed. I have a brand new baby kitten. Her name is Bunny Rainbow. And when she falls asleep, I could pick her up with one finger and she'll just droop over that finger. She is so relaxed. That's the way I want you to be. And I'm going to offer a prayer to Yeshua. After that, we are going to begin conducting the energy of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the grace of God, the love of Christ. And during that time, I want you to pray. You pray for that which you most dearly want, which is closest to your heart. Pray with love. Pray with love, seeing it done. Don't pray the problem, pray the answer. Don't pray for rain because there's a drought and be focusing on the drought. Pray in gratitude for the rain that it has already come. That's the key to successful prayer. And as you pray, feel the prayer being answered. When we're finished, you will go and rest for at least 7 minutes and just receive. Don't think. All thoughts stop after the giving of the blessing. All thoughts stop because God is going to be writing on the blackboard of your life. He's going to be continuing to instill the blessings for you and allow yourself to receive. Let us begin. Yeshua, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for your love, for your ministry, for all your teachings, for how you walked upon the earth and became human for us, that you might be everything we could be and know the human pathway completely and transcend it and show us that it is a simple, transcendable pathway if we approach it with love and with faith by the power of God. There is nothing too big for God. We ask that you be with those who don't know to pray. Let their life be prayer. We ask that you be with those who never knew to look for wisdom. They're only trying to figure things out. Relax their minds that they may receive answers unexpectedly through grace and know that there is a higher pathway to follow. We ask that all of our brothers and sisters have more confidence in themselves, more certainty of who they are, that there's a greater power within working and lifting them to higher places. We ask for these revelations for all humanity, that we may have the peace that comes from understanding, the peace that comes from love, and the peace that comes from co-creating in the spirit of sisterhood, brotherhood, and love of God. Now we just surrender into the potential that you created, that it may know your love, your intentions, your grace, and your miracles. All of these things we ask in the blessed name, Yeshua. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me? And we will start conveying the energy of the blessing. Amen, amen, and amen. Your blessing has been given. Now you need to go and receive, or finish receiving. 7 minutes on your back, in bed, or in a lounge chair, or on the grass, wherever you can rest and be comfortable. And just be quiet, be in peace, and be with God. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to being with you again next week.